Presidential pardon. Should that be left alone, or should there be new parameters? Ryan discusses with me in today's episode of Blueprint. I am your host, Ken Drew, and this is Taboo Topic.
Keep up to date with the latest content through social media. Type in the search bars of Instagram, Getter, Truth Social, and TikTok, mainly those first three of Instagram, Getter, and Truth Social, Kenjin_Express, I repeat, Kenjin_Express, spell the word engine, then put the letter K in front of the word engine, then you get Kenjin, one word, _Express. You can also follow this show on Facebook just by typing in the search bar of Taboo Topic. Look for the logo that says Honesty Equals Understanding. You can listen to this show on any platform from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, and even Amazon, which, by the way, please don't forget to give this show a rating and review. If it's anything less than a 5-star, let me know so I can better serve you. Last but not least, you can find the inspirations for the Wednesday's episodes on my Substack newsletters. Type in the URL at kenjin296.substack.com if you want a visual of the inspiration and you want that script to see what will the episode on Wednesday shall be focused on. Share this with your friends and family members, because here on this show, we dare to think out loud and question the narrative. Free speech triumphs safe space, because in order for us to think, we have to risk being offensive. If we want true peace in our society, we have to be able to be honest with each other, without judgment. If we can be honest with each other, then we can achieve real peace in our society. Amen. This is a reminder that the Biden administration abandoned 9 to 15,000 Americans in Afghanistan. Now, you won't hear about this from the media or any politician for that matter, because the global elite have their own agenda that disregards human life and basic human dignity. So, to the families and individuals that have been affected by this abandonment, know that you have not forgotten. Most Americans, like myself, know, or your loved ones, didn't choose to stay behind. If there's any way I can further help besides bring awareness, reach out at Kenjin_Express. I repeat, Kenjin_Express on Instagram. Spell the word engine, put the letter K in front of the word engine, then you get Kenjin, one word, _Express, if you have by one in a millionth chance hear this message. It's not much, but know this, justice will be served for those who lied to justify their incompetence. After all, I believe in God, who is in control of all things, and he says, vengeance is mine. Now, let's get back to the show. What's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of Blueprint. I am with Ryan from Between the Liars, and I am Ken Drew from Taboo Topic, folks. We do exist. We are still alive.
Oh, man, life gets busy. We didn't die, I promise.
Well, Ryan's life got busy. In the meantime, I had a natural disaster to deal with.
Uncle Ian brought you a little present, brought you some rain and some troubles. Yep,
and I had to evacuate to Georgia, so that was fun. But my dog really enjoyed the big yard and everything like that. And she hates the storms anyways as is, so I figured, well, if I stick it out with her, she'll be miserable, which in turn will make me miserable. So
yep,
just go ahead and go up north where actually feels like fall versus right now. So
that's true. Yeah, even in Kentucky it's actually been pretty nice out here. I've been enjoying it got down to like 45 at one point. I was like, what is this? Because even just last week, 2 weeks ago, it was pretty hot and humid. Not going to lie. And I'm not a fan of the humidity. So I am thoroughly enjoying this weather.
You know, as much as I love the heat, and I actually do prefer the heat over the cold, I'm one of those people. I do miss like the fall feel that I was in Georgia for. It's 92 degrees. It was 92 degrees outside today in Florida and humid. So,
oh no!
It's still feels like summer over here. So it is what it is, folks. We got a quick announcement we're gonna make real quick. First and foremost, we got to give credit to the song, Devin Farley for the intro song, and also, folks, we got to give a big round of applause for our co-host Ryan. He is getting officially married finally in Saturday. Woo! So this is the last pre-record. This is the last recording, I should say, of him actually being a legal bachelor. I'm sure if you called him a bachelor, his girlfriends aren't going to take too kindly to that. But he's a legal bachelor. And by Saturday, he will be a Mr. and he'll have a Mrs. And sir, how do you feel about that?
It's kind of surreal. It's been one of those things. It's been like a long time coming, but it's been like so long. That it's like, oh my goodness, it's here. But, you know, excited, slightly nervous with, you know, the details, not with the marriage portion or, you know, any of the decisions that I've made there. I chose well. More just about, you know, finalized details coming together, making sure that everything, well, I would say goes according to plan. But we know that like nothing ever goes according to plan, especially at weddings. So, you know, just as long as there's no major, major catastrophes, it'll all be good. I'll be married at the end of the day, and that'll be it.
Yep, and then you'll hit your honeymoon phase in December.
Yeah, unfortunately, since we go to different schools and different parts of the country, yeah, honeymoon is going to be in December.
Nice.
Yep, I just return to my students and teach, so it's going to be a pretty... After the wedding day, it's just kind of mundane, just going back to normal life.
I see. Well, I was in Georgia, life update for me. I'm seeing someone now, so...
Really? Very nice.
Yep.
Man, Hurricane Ian was very kind to you.
It was. I was even telling my aunt and the person I'm seeing right now, as far as like I was feeling burnt out before the hurricane showed up by school, and Hurricane Ian like canceled classes for an entire week. So it was an actual vacation for me.
Man, no. Well, I'm glad that your area was safe. I have been reviewing the footage of some of the damage that's been done. Crazy. Did you see the guy who he basically had the only window ad he will ever need to run because he had put this giant, it was probably like, I don't know, 15 foot wide window, 10 foot tall for like a storefront. No leaks, no nothing. The water is like 3/4 of the way up the window.
Oh, because he used Flex Seal, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, he used Flex Seal. I know what you're talking about. He used Flex Seal.
That's the only ad he'll ever need to run as far as putting in windows. It's pretty solid advertising right there.
I mean, he found a hat trick, I think. So, or pro tip, I should say, as far as how to prepare for a hurricane and make sure your house does not get flooded.
That's true.
So, I'm definitely, so shout out to my hometown, Inglewood. My prayers are still with y'all, especially the people in Fort Myers, the area, really that part of Florida got hit really hard.
Yeah.
Category 4. It's actually, fun fact, Ian is actually considered to be in the top 5 strongest hurricanes to make landfall in the United States ever. So
yeah, I think it was something like, what, 1800 since we had one this bad? Like, it's been a hot, hot minute, or maybe it was Eisenhower. I don't remember.
I mean, I know that Andrew was pretty bad back in the 1980s. I think Katrina's in the top 5. Ian, I think Charlie as well from 2006. Mm. And maybe Eisenhower and the other one you mentioned. That's like the top 5 like strongest hurricanes to ever make landfall in the United States. Luckily for my friends and family members in that area, like everyone actually was able to reach out and they're okay. So
good.
Buildings can be replaced, but you can't replace a life. So.
It's true. Yep.
With that said, you're in our thoughts and prayers. Let's get started, shall we, Ryan?
Drastic shift. Change gears. Presidential pardons.
Yep. And do you have the notes from the last time? I know it's been a minute, but do you have the last time when we talked about the commander-in-chief?
Yeah, last time we talked about executive orders, right? That is the last time that we spoke. What did we talk about last time?
We spoke about the commander-in-chief and limiting his powers.
That's right. Give me one second.
So the whole purpose of it really was to avoid another scenario of like Iraq or Afghanistan where there's no actual declaration of war, but we also wanted to ensure that the president still had power to respond immediately if there was like an actual imminent threat or if there was actual... like an Osama bin Laden situation where it didn't necessarily have to get the approval of Congress. The president could still order an attack because that person was responsible for the attack on U.S. soil. Ryan, go ahead and take the floor. So it seems like you found it.
Maybe. What I've got here is more about like... last thing I'm seeing on these particular notes is the executive orders. That's why I was thinking that's where we're at. What you're saying rings a bell for me. That's why I was nodding along, because I was like, ah, yes, it's coming back to me. But I don't have the specifics.
You've had a busy life lately. I have. So no, I'll give you a pass.
That's no excuse. I've failed. I should return every cent I've ever made as a podcaster, which I'm doing right this second because I've made none. So, you know, Ken, I'm back to you. You had a good handle on it. I remember us going over it, but I honestly do not remember specifics. So,
well, that was like the gist of it. Another thing also is we wanted to ensure that the at least the three-letter mafia's powers to pursue crimes in states, like they actually had to get the approval from the state governments first to actually do an investigation, unless it was an actual federal specific crime. Because we want, basically the idea of it was to ensure we didn't have enough scenario of the FBI invading like Trump's home, for example, or invading private citizens' homes who were part of January 6th, who maybe they're just there at the White House or the Capitol Hill, and
more
they're
due
let
process in general is what we were looking for.
Yeah, to protect the due process part, and so we really like slashed the power of like the CIA and FBI. We didn't necessarily like get rid of them necessarily, and that's another conversation as far as like whether or not we think they should continue to exist.
yes.
But go ahead.
I was going to say another thing that I do remember that we did with the president was there was not going to be any more of the President Obama, we're not in a war, but we've got a proxy war because we send drones. It was pretty much going to have to be a declaration of war.
An actual declaration of war or nothing.
And the president, I think we limited it to the president could only push for immediate action in the event that we had an invasion on our own soil, right? Because that obviously requires quick and decisive action. But everything else, we gave the president the power to, like, Congress could say, you have the power to take out X terrorist, do what you need to execute the grounds, but you can't just decide I'm suddenly going to bomb. And we did that so that you wouldn't have an instance where it's like, oh, we finally got Osama bin Laden's coordinates. We got to wait on Congress to get their stuff together. This was going to be more Osama bin Laden is a green light. And that was the way that we set that up, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that would pretty much be the gist of it, because we want to also make Congress do their job as well. Because the last time Congress actually made a declaration of war, which is not the first time, I think Congress, if I remember correctly from my notes in particular, Congress anyways has declared war 11 times since the Constitution was created, but it has not been declared a war since the World War II, and yet we've gotten involved in all these wars per se. Whether it's the Korean War, Vietnam War, Iraq, Afghanistan, but none of them have actually been declaration of war. And especially when you talk to people who were part of the Iraq War, the U.S. citizens, the family and friends who lost loved ones through that war, there's some real resentment by that fact, because Congress didn't do their job. And essentially the president has this unilateral power to just send troops and basically create conflict, which is an act of war. So. That was the gist of it, folks. With that said, this also gets into, we kind of touched briefly on, I think, if I remember correctly, what happens if the soldiers, airmen, Marines, like they commit a crime, you know, during this war of conflict and everything like that. And it kind of was a springboard to presidential pardons.
Yes.
So one of the big questions people have in general is what should be the legal basis of a presidential pardon. Honestly, this is another issue in the Constitution where there's not a whole lot of clarity. Mm-hmm. It's mainly subjective, and it's based on the president's sentiment about the individual and situation.
Right.
Now, of course, the president can only grant pardons as long as their jurisdiction allows it. But if the person is within the federal jurisdiction, then what can be an objective standard for pardon? The framers had mixed feelings on this, but ultimately decided that there's a need for a check of balance in the judiciary system, as expressed by Alexander Hamilton. Without an easy access to exceptions in favor of unfortunate guilt, justice would wear a countenance too sanguinary. here, I'm going to spell it out for you, Ryan. See if you can pronounce it for me. Sanguinary.
I'd have to see it. That went a little quick.
Okay. Anyways, and cruel.
We'll skip it.
Yeah, we'll skip that word for now. That said, though, it doesn't show. They didn't give us a guideline for how we can go about this. So I want to go ahead and ask, like, your personal sentiments about the idea of a presidential pardon, and then I'll get into my personal sentiments.
So I do want to take just a second to point out what I think is an important distinction often between people who are more conservative versus those who are more liberal. People who are conservative tend to like the government descriptions to be broad and not specified, but also limited in scope. So, for example, the presidential pardon is limited in and of itself with specific rules, but it doesn't, it's not like micromanaged. And the same is true for the Constitution, right? It's like we have core foundational constitutional protections, but that doesn't mean that list is exhaustive, right? You can have laws that are not constitutionally based that you can still have. Versus the liberal perspective tends to be that if it's not, quote unquote, in the Constitution, then it doesn't exist, right? Anything that is not specified is prohibited. So, for example, they would tend to take the perspective that, well, if abortion is not a constitutional right, then that means that everyone just cannot have them. Or if, you know, if we don't put, you know, vaccines as a law, right, that you have to get them, then just no one will, as opposed to the incentive structure. Now, I am generalizing that everybody believes that. But if you're polarizing the two, that tends to be the case. And I set that up for my perspective, which is, I like to see the government limited in power. So obviously the president should be able to pardon themselves, right? The president. But as far as like, do I really care if the president is political and who they pardon? Not particularly. Like, do I like it? No. But I feel like there's more damage in trying to regulate that than there is benefit, if that makes sense. So I kind of like to take the Founding Fathers' perspective of leaving it alone for the most part and let it be interpreted by the states, the people in power of the day, because it's not a core constitutional belief, right? Like, if it's going to be a core constitutional belief, an amendment in the Constitution needs to be specified. If it's just that they can do this, I just want parameters. And I hope that doesn't sound like I'm being like flip-floppity, because I know that other episodes I'm like super ingrained. No, we need to limit this. But I just don't think the presidential pardon is that big of a deal. Like, obviously, if you receive it, it's a big deal for you. And I'm not undercutting that. But it's not quite the same as Congress levying a law that affects me on my everyday life. Does that make sense? Like, that's my perspective. So when the law touches me, my family, my rights, my liberties, I like the government to be incredibly narrow. But because, you know, obviously the president can't undercut a state investigation with their presidential pardons, I don't really care who they select. In fact, I almost feel like it just becomes symbolic at certain points, almost like the Presidential Medal of Freedom, right? Is that, yes, of course, you know, if you've done, if you receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest honor for a civilian they could possibly receive, if I'm remembering that correctly. Similar vein for presidential pardon, right? Like, it's extenuating circumstances. It is a great honor to be selected for that. But at the end of the day, you know, it's just another duty that the president has that they can execute if they want. But it's not quite the same as like executive orders, where it's like, man, they can really screw over your life, versus this is giving a person, or maybe even a few people, I don't know what their limit is, a new outlook on life, a new option that might be politically based and often is.
So it seems like you're not going to have a Ruby at odds then, because I have a lot of I have a lot of points here as far as like what I think needs to be specifics.
Yep. Okay.
Because I think we need to protect a scenario where whether it's a liberal, whether it's a Democrat or Republican, and these days they're kind of going hand in hand, the rhinos, right?
Yep.
Where they're increasing their own power and everything like that. I think we need to set parameters at least to avoid a scenario where the president does like get to a point where the president decides to pardon himself over a crime.
I don't think they can though, right? I'm pretty sure that's a limitation.
That's the debate though. That's one of the issues that President Trump had to deal with the liberal establishment anyway. The liberal establishment.
I've myself of all crimes I've been accused of.
But also like there's a scenario where Richard Nixon, for example, the vice president pardoned Nixon for his crimes.
Yep.
And Personally, I think no one is above the law, especially the politicians. And this kind of this separates between like an elite established, the elite mindset anyways, that they can play by their own rules and everything like that versus like the regular folks, where us regular folks, like if we did like at least a third of the crimes that they commit on a daily basis, we'd be in jail for the rest of our lives. And they probably wouldn't blink twice about like when we asked for a pardon, they were like, no, but they would commit the same crime. Like Hillary Clinton, for example, she could get a pardon or something like that. But someone like who was in the military that maybe did something along the same lines, maybe like, let's say what's his name? Julian Assange, the one who like gave the information is in political asylum right now in Russia.
Yep.
Right now, he doesn't get political asylum for actually exposing a crime the government was committing. Yep. But someone like Hillary Clinton, who's not part of that, who's part of the insider, who's that insider, should say, she can get a presidential pardon. She would more likely get a presidential pardon than Julian Assange, in my opinion.
Can I ask you two questions then?
Sure.
So my first question would be, as all comm scholars do, we start with a very long statement and then we finally get to our questions. So bear with me. So it seems to me that given what you had just said, one of your issues is with the fact that you've got this tiered system, right? Politicians seem to be above the law because like someone who's notable, like Hillary Clinton, is more likely to get clemency than say you or I, if we commit the same crime and could have it. So is your problem with the fact that the president can pardon those people, or that there tends to be a tiered system in which it's not what you do or what you know, it's who you know, right? So these politicians know each other, they're more highly ranked political figures. So is your problem with the presidential pardon itself and how it's applied, or that there is a tiered system that exists? That's kind of the first part of that question.
I would lean more towards the latter, but even like even your first question, as far as like how the presidential pardon system is in general, because I think without those parameters that the vagueness anyway, that's what leads to that tier system anyway.
Sure. No, yeah, that makes sense. So then I guess my second question to kind of follow that up is, would you be, and you don't have to pick between these two, but I'm seeing two directions we could go here. The first is limiting the presidential pardon to where you can only give it to X group, versus expanding the protections for people in extenuating circumstances so that they don't need the presidential pardon. Julian Assange would be one example of that, right? Like, let's say that you expose the evil that your government is doing, and then you're given whistleblower protection, but like bolstering that. You see what I'm saying? It's two approaches to the same problem of specific people are given clemency, others are not, when perhaps we could even consider whether or not the whistleblowing is heroic. And then that's a whole nother debate. But does that make sense? Like, would you lean towards one, the other, both? What are your thoughts on that?
I think I will let my proposals answer that question, because I really don't know like which way I would lean. But I guess you can be the objective standard as far as like which way you think I'm leaning towards.
Yeah, I might be getting ahead of us too. Sorry.
Yeah, you're good, man. You're good. So the first point I have here is, if the nature of the crime entails an American citizen practicing their constitutional right as protected by the Bill of Rights, the president has grounds for a pardon. This includes any crime that exposes constitutional violations committed by both federal and state governments, aka Julian Assange, right?
Yeah. That's interesting, because you're almost covering both bases there, right? Because what you're saying, if I'm understanding correctly, is that this would be a specific instance in which the president may or can give clemency, right? They can give a presidential pardon.
Yeah.
I guess my question, as far as like should they be given those protections, is going to be, do you want to leave that up? If they've exercised their free speech, I'm assuming, is the constitutional protections you're talking about here, then do we want to let the law prosecute them unless the president intervenes, or do we want to establish protections in that case?
What do you mean? Can you rephrase the question?
Sure. Let me think of a different way to phrase it. So you're saying that in this specific instance, Julian Assange, because he was executing he was operating under free speech, right? That's accurate.
Right.
He has the potential to be pardoned for these crimes, right? The treason, if the president so chooses.
Yeah.
My question is, the president may choose not to. Right. Do we want to allow the president to choose not to? Like, do we want to just have a section where the, if as long as you're operating within the First Amendment, then like you're just granted the pardon without the president having to do it?
I think the president should be the one to initiate the pardon.
Okay. And that was what I was getting at. Okay. I like it. I was just curious.
Yeah. I mean, you'll know. So the, my parameters, my, my amendments, if you will, they still kind of get, it's more like a general parameter instead of like scrutinized.
Yeah.
At least I think so anyway. So the second point I have here is if an American citizen's due process has been violated with clear evidence of prejudice against the defendant, the president has grounds for pardon. This evidence must be available for the public consumption before such action is taken. If there are crimes being committed as a result of domestic tension between federal and local governments, the president has grounds for a pardon. That's like your, let's say, Black Lives Matter and state officials and everything like that. The president could hold everyone, all those rioters, accountable, but if the president decides like it's better to just pardon them to ease the tensions and everything like that, everyone just, you know, everyone got caught up in the heat of the moment and with the emotions and everything like that. To ease the tensions, the president can say, you know, those people's crimes, you know, they've committed, president, they can be granted presidential pardon if it's so deemed necessary.
Could you repeat that third point that you just went over? Just the statement of it, because I want to make sure I understood it correctly.
So, the one I just, you mean my bullet points?
Yeah, the one that you just did, because we, the second one,
yeah, so
assuming I can count, was about if your rights due process have been violated. What was the third one?
If the crimes being committed as a result of domestic tension between the federal and local governments, the president has grounds for a pardon.
Okay. Gotcha, gotcha. And that's what I was trying to figure out, what you were pinpointing there, because right now the rule is basically if I'm being prosecuted by the state, the president can't just be like, oh no, hold on, give him clemency. Right. So it doesn't sound like you're necessarily changing that, but you're looking at a specific instance in which the state, federal government, or like, you know, local versus federal is in tension. Yeah. Because the federal government is involved in that tension, it kind of grandfathers the president in to be able to touch that, if I've understood you correctly.
You're correct.
Okay, cool.
Next point. If there are crimes committed abroad that do not violate the laws of the United States, that the American citizen may be subject to foreign jurisdiction, the president shall have the basis for a pardon upon return of the U.S. citizen on American soil. So you have that basketball player in Russia right now, which technically she broke the U.S. law, if you think about it.
Technically.
But let's say, though, it's not illegal in the United States, but it's a state-by-state cases and everything like that. So let's say she lives in California. Actually, California, terrible example. Let's go with a more conservative state. Let's say Kentucky, right? Kentucky says marijuana is illegal. You can be prosecuted, but it's not a federal crime to possess marijuana. The president can pardon the player to avoid a scenario where she comes back to Kentucky and Kentucky prosecutes that player, if that makes sense.
It does. Yep. Yep.
Okay. Next, this gets into the military stuff. In times of foreign conflict or war, the president shall have grounds for a pardon of any member of the armed forces. And the reason why I have that in there, because, war is hell. And sometimes people just got to do what they got to do to survive. So
I couldn't help myself. I committed war crimes because of the war.
I mean, there are some like outright, like serious war crimes and everything like that. But there is a lot of subjectivity, I think, as well.
I'm just giving you a hard time. I knew what you meant. I chose to be facetious and blow it out of proportion. That's me being sarcastic. Sorry.
You're good.
For those who have just started listening, I'm a sarcastic person who likes to be kind of a dick sometimes. 10th point was just fine. I just had to make fun of it.
That's all good. And then the last point I have, in times when an elected official or appointment on a state or federal level has committed a crime against the United States and the United States of impeachable standards, the president shall not have grounds for a pardon to include the presidential position itself. So that's the only time the president does not have.
Who committed an impeachable offense? Someone
like elected official, an appointment, like a cabinet member, like Dr. Fauci, for example, or the president himself. Anyone who's like a public, who holds a public office, is a public servant. The president does not have grounds for a presidential pardon at that point.
Sure. Yeah. Makes sense to me.
Those are my general parameters. Hmm.
I don't really have a problem with any of them. I know that I think you'd mentioned earlier we might have some tension because like you did have some reform things. The other thing is that like this is not such a big issue to me that I'm like, I must get my way on this. You know what I mean? Like this is where I can be like, all right, like these make sense. They're well reasoned. I didn't have strong opinions on them, but I, even though I was quote unquote opposed to like mandating specific things, I didn't really have a huge.
You weren't that passionate really
like,
about it.
Yeah, it's not something I'm like, oh my God, yes, this must be the case. Passionate. Yeah. So no, that's, those are well reasoned and I think that they make sense. I can't. Would you keep the parameter then that the president cannot interfere with the state investigation then? That doesn't go away. This is just kind of a more tailored lens on that, if you will.
Basically.
Okay.
And it's so vague as far as there's still room for interpretation as far as the subjectivity for the president and who should be pardoned and everything like that. But it just kind of gives the president a general idea like, you know, what constitutes as a grounds for a pardon versus what doesn't constitute as a pardon.
So this would mean then that, for example, if I committed treason against the United States, the president would not have the opportunity to pardon me unless it tied to, say, your example of I was executing one of my constitutional rights.
Right. Or like Julian Assange exposing crimes to the United States for spying on the American people without warrants, for example. And so, hence.
Interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Gives you perspective.
It does. I'm just curious. Was there specific people that have been pardoned that you didn't think should be pardoned, and that's why you wrote these the way that you did? Or is this just to head off any potential political activism, so to speak, for the president?
I mean, honestly, like, besides Julius Assange, like for the most part, it's just kind of like a head off. Like it's a it's a topic that the founding fathers touched on when they were creating the executive branch.
Yep.
And it's one of those things where I personally, going into this anyway, I believe that the founding fathers, in hindsight anyway, they did not saw the problems that would come from the president's power growing as like it did to the point where it became like the monarch.
Sure.
So this is one of those things where we're basically trying to erase the idea that the president is an elected king. Mm-hmm. And pardons, in my opinion, kind of gives like that king-like power, if you ask me. And so by creating these parameters, we further erase the notion that we have an elected king at the DC level.
I like it. Yeah, no, I'll sign off on these. Now, I will... I'll think about it like over the next week, right? Like I see nothing wrong with this. No reason that I would be opposed to this, but you know, next week something pops up. I'm like, oh man, I should have thought of this. I will. But like right now, I don't really have any problems with anything you said. Like I said, I don't think that there's really any that tension that you were thinking might be there. So I'm good with it.
Some disagreements, some clashes going on here.
Just a little bit, you know, just enough to keep you honest. It's not really something that I'm like, oh yes, I must just for the sake of clashing do it. No, that's not where I'm at. I'm good.
No, you're good. You're good. So you have any final thoughts as we're about to wrap up the executive branch finally? This is like the last episode of the executive branch before we move on, folks, to the actual electoral process. And that's the Electoral College, including the election security. And then after that, we'll actually be doing the ratification process.
I don't have anything off the top of my head. I will say just blanket on this particular branch. I am pleased with how we have limited the king-like power that you mentioned, because I'm pretty dang tired of that. So we've achieved my major goal, and honestly, a few goals that I didn't really anticipate till we started talking through this. So I am pleased with what we have done with this.
Well, my conclusion, based on my notes here on the Substack, folks, which you can also read into and see what I'm reading off of, but more or less... The Federalists and the Anti-Federalists were right. The president does need leeway to enforce the laws in place. However, the lack of guidance and the final ratification, the president did elevate to a king-like position. Who knows? folks, let us know if you think some of these proposals are still too vague, and there may be, and let us know if you think there's some that are too strict. Maybe you think the president's pardon, your long line with Ryan, maybe have a stronger passion than Ryan and say, Ken, you need to let this go. Let us know. It's understandable, though, why the framers left the executive branch as vague as it did, because it's very complex. You want to have the president, you want to ensure the president has enough power, but also you want to have that king-like status. The nature of the, really, I think overall, when we went over the executive branch, it's just the nature of the president's powers is what it seemed to be missing. From the final ratification. That's what I really tried to do anyway, as far as just kind of create the nature of the president's powers when we come up with these proposals. Not necessarily give like a strict outline, but just kind of give like a general parameter basics as far as like, all right, so for an executive action, this is the parameters that should be constituted as a legal executive action versus not, a legal action to send troops versus not, et cetera. And let us know also, because we did go over like the executive singular system versus the plural system. Let us know your thoughts about that too, because I know AK and Ryan and I, we didn't necessarily, we did kind of go over quite a bit, more than we probably anticipated. But let us know if you, let us know if you're more along the lines of like, we just need to leave it as singular, and, or maybe with AK, as far as having a more pluralistic system, executive power system, or somewhere between the liars.
Way to drop that in there. Love it.
Yep.
Full circle.
But regardless, it's a foundation to begin rethinking what a smaller government entails. So folks, let us know. Hopefully you enjoyed today's episode. Please, by all means, check out Ryan's Between the Liar pages on social media, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, right, Twitter, even Twitch. It's literally Between the Liars. Yep. I'm the different person. I'm the one who has to be different.
He's got to be special.
I got to be special with the Kenjin Express on Instagram and Truth Social and Getter. Also find me on Taboo Topic on Facebook. But also, most importantly, though, folks, most importantly, before I forget and let Ryan close us out, make sure you smash that like button. Make sure you smash the subscribe button and the notification bell to help boost our self-esteem anyway, to hit the notification bell. Please, let's beat the YouTube algorithm. And Ryan, please take us away.
All right. Remember, you can find us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, Twitch, and Google Podcasts. Like Ken mentioned, subscribe to our YouTube channels and follow us on our social medias to stay updated. Although I've been relatively inactive, but we'll get those up and running again. I promise we haven't died. If you enjoy this show, give us a 5-star review and share us with your friends. Subscribe to those channels. I'll say it again. Subscribe, subscribe. I'm trying to reach 100 subscribers. We are at 75 right now. All right. Help us with those ratings and help us envision a smaller, more controlled government. And remember, that starts with a blueprint. We'll catch you back here next week. Bye for now.